why we write such songs. You know, when times get hard, people talk more about heaven. I said, when times get hard, people talk more about heaven. Folks don't write songs about heaven very much when things are going good. People don't talk about heaven a whole lot when things are going good. But when things start getting a little tough, we start lifting up our eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. And we start saying, Lord, come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, I do want to go when the Lord gets ready. And it'll be a privilege to be in His presence, won't it? Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. Good to see you here tonight. Amen. Things are a little quieter than normal, but I preached when it was quiet. And I preached when it was loud. And I preached when there was a two or three. And I preached when there was a few thousand. Amen. Doesn't matter. Praise God. If the Lord's in it, it'll be all right. If He's not, amen, it doesn't matter. It's either going to be good or it's not. Praise the Lord. Somebody said there, you're going to preach to us? I said, well, if the Lord helps me. Amen. Praise God. And if He don't, then I'll still preach. Just won't much come out of it. Praise God. But we're going to do our best. Say again how good it is to have our friends from Midland, all the way from Midland, Texas, with us. Sister Treadway and Sister Johnson, Sister Linda Lackey. Amen. These are very, very special people, big part of our life. And we share a lot of wonderful memories from the years we had in Midland and the good times we've had here. Praise God. Good to see Brother and Sister Early here tonight. God bless you, visiting us from Gun Barrel City. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Good to have Brother Johnny Kofer back again tonight. Amen. He helped us out with the crisis today. Thank you, brother, for your good help. And God bless you real, real good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have Brother James with us tonight. Good to see you, sir. Praise God. Good to have everybody. We're glad you're here. And we're just here to worship God. And good home, folks. I appreciate all of you. You're what makes it all happen. We get excited when visitors come, but if you wasn't here, we'd all be visitors. So thank you for your faithfulness, and God bless you really good. Well, I'm going to read some verses here tonight from the book of Nehemiah. A little more obscure verses. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 and verse 16. It says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, and in 52 days. And it came to pass, when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. That this work was wrought of our God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then I'm going to read a verse from the book of Ezekiel over in the 43rd chapter and the 13th verse. Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse 13. These are the measurements of the altar after the cubits. Everybody say the measures of the altar after the cubits. The cubit is a cubit and an hand breadth. The cubit is a cubit and an hand breadth. Even the bottom shall be a cubit and the breadth of a cubit, and the border thereof by the edge round about shall be a span, and this shall be the higher place of the altar. Amen. Our focus from that verse is a cubit and a hand breadth. Amen. And my topic for tonight is this: when God lends a hand. Amen. When God lends a hand. Amen. The Lord bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Give him a big praise tonight before you're seated. Turn around and shake your neighbor's hand. Give him a big old smile. Praise the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him. If you can do that honestly, and I know you can. Praise God. Then you can be seated. Praise God. When God lends a hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. These people we're talking about here tonight are perhaps a little less known than some individuals that we preach about a lot more often. There was a man by the name of Ezekiel who was a great prophet of God. Ezekiel was a young priest when Israel, because of their continual sin, fell into the judgment of God. And God sent a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. And he, first of all, in 606 B.C., he took the leadership out of the country. And many of the leaders, he took them to Babylon. 586, he came back again and he destroyed the temple of Jerusalem and looted all of the treasures. And also, he took them to Babylon. And then he almost emptied out the city of Jerusalem and took the vast majority of the people. He took them into captivity. And it is there that we find the writings of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is what we call an exilic prophet because he was writing from exile in the country of Babylon. Israel had disobeyed God, and for 490 years they had failed to allow the land to lie in the seventh year in fallow ground so that it could recuperate and produce again. And so God let the land rest for 70 years in a row because they had not fulfilled God's promise. Amen. Hey, folks, you know what? We don't break God's law and get by. I hear people talk about breaking God's law. No, you don't break God's law. God's law will break you. Amen. But God's mercy intervenes oftentimes. And God is long-suffering toward us. The Bible said, not willing that any should perish. And so Israel finds itself in the country of Babylon, and they're in captivity. Amen. And they write psalms, such as the psalm that talks about that they hang their harps on the willows. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And a lot of people lost their worship, and they lost their faith, and they lost their encouragement, and they became so despondent and so discouraged. How could God ever allow this to happen to us? And they lost all of those things. But in the midst of that, while other people were seeing despair, Ezekiel lifted up his eyes and he saw visions of God. He saw the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. Hey, folks, when you get in trouble, that's when you lift up your eyes. That's not when you look down. That's when you look up. That's not when you give up. That's when you fight. Amen. That's when you take a stand. Amen. Praise God. That's when you buckle up your faith. Amen. And you say, as for others, I know not what course you may take, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, there are no strange lands. It's all God's land. I said it's all God's land. Praise God. There are no bad lands. God made it all. It's all His. He's omnipresent. He's in Babylon just like He's in Jerusalem. Praise God. Amen. He's everywhere. There's no place that He's not. And so Ezekiel made up his mind that while others might be seeing bad, he was going to go ahead and see God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And God began to give him visions, and he saw marvelous things that he wrote in his book. In the 37th chapter, God showed him a tremendous vision. He said that he saw this valley, and it was full of dead men's bones. And it says, and lo, they were very dry. Amen. You've been to a service that was very dry. Amen. Pray, nothing was moving. Everything was rattling. Amen. Wasn't much going on. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. That's a safe answer, isn't it? Lord, you know. Amen. And so God said, prophesy to the bones. And he said, old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he started preaching the dry bones. Some people have preached anything. Amen. Somebody will preach about anything. Hallelujah. And he started preaching the old dry bones. Amen. And the Bible said all of a sudden there was a commotion going on in the valley. And bones started crawling around and snapping together. And knee joints snapped together. And hip joints snapped together. And elbow joints snapped together. And ribs got in place. And neck bones attached. And heads rolled over on top of neck bones. And all of a sudden the skeletons were there, and suddenly muscle began to rope its way around those old dry bones, and sinew tied it all together, and all of a sudden skin began to cover the old dry bones, and suddenly there wasn't just dry bones anymore, but there were bodies in the valley. Hey, there's power in the word of the Lord. Amen. And then he said again, he said, Ezekiel, he said, can these live? And he was still a little doubtful. He said, thou knowest, Lord. Amen. And God said, prophesy to the winds. Hallelujah. And he began to preach to the wind. And all of a sudden the breath of God went down through the valley. And the chest began to rise and expand with the air that God put in them. Eyeballs opened. Amen. Cheeks flushed with the health of life. Hearts began to beat. And men began to stand up. And the whole valley was filled, beginning with nothing but dry bones. And suddenly it was a mighty army that was standing there. Amen. Hey folks, don't count us out yet. Don't count us out yet. Amen. Israel was in captivity. They'd been there a long time. They didn't know if they were ever going to get back to Israel again. But don't count us out yet. Hallelujah. When God takes a hand, things begin to happen. When God lends a hand, miracles happen. When God takes a hand, nothing is impossible. Amen. Out of what looked like nothing, God brought a mighty army. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Out of death, God brought life. That's what happens when God lends a hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hey, it wasn't over yet. There was still some trouble ahead. He saw, first of all, he saw the valley of dry bones live. Then in the 38th chapter, he saw nations rise up against Israel. And, what are we going to do now? We're in trouble. Our enemies are camped round about us. It looks like we're down for the count. And just when it looked like nothing was going to stop them and the enemy was going to come in like a flood, the Lord God in chapter 39 began to raise up a standard against the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, folks, don't despair when trouble closes in. Don't despair when tribulation rises its head. Start looking for God to lend a hand. When you've done all that you can do, Paul said, stand therefore. Hallelujah. Amen. And look for God to lend a hand to your situation. Amen. Praise God. And then he saw in the next chapter, he saw a new Jerusalem. Praise God. You know, sometimes we get so attached to the old, it's hard to make room for the new. But he said, I saw a new Jerusalem. Praise God. Hallelujah. Could I just say tonight that the work of God is always in progress? It's always moving. We find places that are comfortable that we would like to stay. But when you're working with God, you can't stay anywhere. He's always moving you to a new place. You're always going forward in the work of God. It is not stagnant or stayed, but it's always going forward and going upward. Amen. Your personal walk with God is exactly the same way. Amen. The only way that you can, you have to walk with God. You have to move with God. You can't, we get in places and we think, boy, this is good. I've worked a long time to get here. We'll enjoy it for a short time because you're getting ready to move. Amen. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, are many rooms, are many habitations. And I think the kingdom of God is like that. You get in one place and you get real comfortable. And you think, man, this is nice. And about that time the door opens and he thrusts you into another place. And it's all strange. And you think, what in the world? I don't like this place. But you stay there for a while and you enjoy it. And you think, hey, you know what? I like this better than the other place. This is better than where I was. And about that time he opens another door. And you find yourself in another room. And it's strange and it's difficult. And you think, what in the world am I doing in here, God? Let me go back to the other room. And all of a sudden you start finding out, hey, this is better than where I was before. And just about the time you get comfortable, he opens another door. Amen. This is not about comfort, folks. This is not about comfort. Amen. So if you can just forget comfort, no, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Amen. It's going to be that way until the trumpet sounds. But when you're in a battle, God's going to lend a hand. Hallelujah. When you get in a battle, the Lord is going to lend a hand. And then God showed him a vision, not only of New Jerusalem, but he said, I'm going to show you a new temple. And he gave him a measuring stick. And he started laying it out. And he started laying it out in cubits. We talked about the columns this morning. But he laid out the temple and he laid it out in cubits. And God told him all of the dimensions, just about how big it was going to be. And he laid it all out. Now a cubit is from the elbow to the fingertips. That's about 4 hand breadths, or about 6 hand breadths. That's about how long that is. 6 hand breadths are from the elbow to the fingertips. That was a cubit. And he said, and it's about 18 inches, by the way. And he said, I want you to lay all of that out. And he laid it out. And then when he came to the altar, he said, now when we get to the altar, he said, we're going to do a cubit and a hand breadth. Amen. We're not going to do 6 hand breadths here. We're going to do 7. Because this is my territory. Hallelujah. There are some things you can handle by yourself. And there are some things where you need a hand. God said, now we're going to lay this thing out. And there's a whole lot of things you're going to be able to handle all by yourself. He said, but there's one place that we're going to add. I'm going to lend my hand here. Amen. He said, and that's called the royal cubit. And it's called the sacred cubit because it's a cubit plus a hand breadth. And I believe that's where the hand of the Lord steps in. Amen. Brother Grissom, why do you always try to get people down to the altar? After every service, you're always asking people to come to the altar. Why do you do that? Because this is the sacred cubit right here. This is where God lends a hand. This is where God lends a hand. Amen. There's some things you can handle, brother. There's some things you can handle, sister. But there are some things you cannot. There's times that you need for God to lend a hand. And that's why God gave us an altar. Amen. The altar's where God steps in and says, when you've done all that you can, then I'm going to lend a hand. Hallelujah. This is when I get involved. Hallelujah. This is when I take part. Hallelujah. It's important today that we understand that there's a place that we can go where God lends a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. the prophet got himself in trouble. He was moving in the Holy Ghost. He felt like he was, I'm sure. He walked into the king's palace one day and he said, Ahab, it's not going to rain till I say so. Huh. All right. And then he walks out. And Ahab turns around to his buddy and he says, who was that nut? And somebody said, oh, that's old Elijah the Tishbite. That's that sun-baked prophet. Amen. Sounds like he's a little addle, doesn't it? But 6 months went by and it didn't rain. And a year went by and it didn't rain. And a year and a half went by and it didn't rain. And 2 years passed by and they were in a drought. And 2.5 years went by and there hadn't been a drop. And 3 years went by and it still hadn't rained. By this time they're believing. You know what they're doing? They're looking for that nutty prophet. Where is that man? They're searching for Elijah. Amen. And then he appears again. And they're up on the mountain. And he all of a sudden he stops what he's doing. And he turns around to Ahab and to his army. And he says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Everybody say, I hear. That was before he saw. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. You know what? We like, all of us are Missourians in heart. We're all from the Show Me State. We all like to walk by sight. We all like to see before we believe. But Jesus told him, at the time when he was getting ready to raise Lazarus, he told Martha and he told Mary, he said, believe and see. Believe and see. Believe and see. It is not seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. God's economy is different than man's economy. Man's economy says, I will see and I will believe. God's economy says, if you will believe, then you will see. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said it. Believe it, amen, and see it. And doubt it and do without it. Amen. So that's God's economy. It's believe and see. Hallelujah. And so here's the man. He says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? That's why we can shout when half the pews are still empty. Amen. If you've heard from the Lord, amen, and you've heard Him say, revival is on its way, and you've heard what the Lord said, amen, you can get excited, and you can believe, and you can rejoice, even before you see anything. Because faith comes by hearing, and so He hears. Amen. And after he tells the king, he said, you better get off of this mountain, buddy, because you're in a chariot and you're going to sink up to the axles in just a little while in mud. You better go while you can. And the sun's still shining bright. And the humidity is still zero. It is still hot and dry. And the prophet gets down to pray. And he speaks to his servant. He says, go yonder and look and tell me what you see. He said, I looked and he said, I don't see a thing. And he went back and he prayed again. Somebody says, it's all right to pray more than once. That's what I'm telling you. And he went back and he prayed again. And he said, go look again. He said, I don't see a thing. And he went and prayed some more and he said, go and see. He said, I don't see a thing. And he went 5 times and he said, I don't see a thing. And he went 6 times. He went 6 times. And he said, I don't see a thing. That's man's number, isn't it? Man was created on the 6th day. And the number of the man of sin is 666. Amen. Six is one number short of God's number, seven. God's number is the perfect number. Man's always at least one number short. He's one hand short. He can't quite get there by himself. The Antichrist is 111 short. Amen. But here he is, and he says, all right, at this, I'm on the sixth day. He said, all right, it's time for God to lend a hand. We're getting desperate now. I've heard it, but I need to see it, God. Amen. And he says, all right, servant, go look one more time. And he goes out and he looks one more time. And what did he say? He said, I see a cloud like, it's like a man's hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. God said, I'm getting ready, buddy, to lend a hand here. When God spoke to the prophet, he shut off the waterworks. And when the prophet said it's going to rain, the hand of the Lord reached out one more time and began to turn on the waterworks. And the rain began to fall. And God lent a hand. Amen. There are times in our lives when we've got to have God to lend a hand. Can't make it by ourselves. Amen. Can't make it by ourselves. Gotta have the Lord. Amen. So Israel, that looked like things were making a good turn, 538, the Babylonians were overthrown by the Persians, and Cyrus becomes king. Right after Cyrus becomes king, he brings in Zerubbabel, makes him governor, brings in some other men of God and some leaders, and he says, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I want you to rebuild the city. Great king, God moved on his heart, and he opened up the treasure house. And there were all of the vessels that had come out of the house of God. And he said, I want you to take these back when you go. I want you to rebuild that temple. And can you believe that a Persian king started raising money and raising taxes to build the house of God in Jerusalem? That's when God lends a hand. Amen. That's when God lends a hand. When a heathen king that did not even believe in Jehovah God, but he said, I'm going to finance your building here. Amen. We're going to pay for it. All you need to do is rebuild it. So Zerubbabel and his cohorts go back to Jerusalem. The city is absolutely in ruins. The walls are torn down. There's nothing there but memories and broken dreams. But the first thing they built, guess what the first thing was? They rebuilt the altar. That's where you start, folks. When your dreams are in ashes, where you start is at the altar. When your life is in shambles, where you start is at the altar. Because that's where God lends a hand. The rest of it you can build with the cubit of a man. But when you get ready to do something for God, He has to lend a hand. So the first thing they rebuilt was the altar. Amen. They got the altar built, and they were excited. So they started laying again the foundation. They got the foundation all finished, and it was going so good. And then opposition came. People came in, the Samaritans came in, and they said, we want to help you. Amen. There's some help we don't need. Amen. There's some help we don't need. Praise God. There's some things we can't change, folks. There's some things that always have to stay the same. And I know, folks, there's some people say, you know what? Well, it doesn't matter what you call God. People call Him by all kinds of names. I'm sorry, but He has a name. And His name is Jesus. And I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm real sorry about that. But that's His name. That is His name. He declared His name. Amen. Some people said everybody worships God in the one way, and some people worship many gods. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. He's just one, folks. Amen. And we can't change that. There's some help we don't need. Well, if you folks just would open up a little bit and not be so hard-nosed about Acts 2:38 and about holiness and all of that stuff, you wouldn't have such a hard time. Just open up. Let everybody come in. There's some help that we don't need. So they said, no, I'm sorry. This, we got to build this for our God. Amen. We got to build it His way. Amen. And opposition came. And they started lying about them. And they started running back to the king of Persia and telling tales. And would you believe that the delaying of the temple, it took 15 years of that. But God said, I want that thing built. I'm going to lend a hand here. Hallelujah. You know how He lent a hand? Get this. You won't believe this. You know how He helped? He sent two preachers. Preachers? What can preachers do? They don't know anything. That's exactly right. They don't know anything about construction. If you're Pentecostal, you do. You've got to know about everything. Amen. To be qualified to be a Pentecostal pastor, you got to know how to do everything there is. Amen. A little bit of it anyway. Or if you're real smart, how to inspire others. I hadn't learned that part yet. Amen. Boy, it's getting quiet now. I can tell when people get those little nervous laughs, you know. Amen. Let me get back, quit meddling, get back to preaching here. Amen. So God said, I'm going to lend a hand. So He sent some preachers. Amen. And they got to preaching and prophesying. Do you know what preaching does? It stirs people's faith. Amen. It makes people take another look. And they quit seeing just mountains. And they quit seeing giants. And they start seeing the Lord. And they start seeing that seventh hand, hallelujah, that intervenes. And they start saying, you know what? We can do this. If God be for us, who can be against us? And their faith gets stirred up. And when people's faith gets stirred up, they can do great exploits for God. Amen. And the preachers got to preaching. And the people got excited. And you know what? In just a short time, they had that whole building finished. It was all finished. And the Bible, let me tell you, when they laid the foundation, you know what happened? When they laid the foundation, the elders that remembered the former temple wept and cried. And said, oh, if you just would have been here, brother, in the old days. If you just would have seen what we saw. If you just would have known what we knew. Boo-hoo, but that's all past. It'll never be that good again. Never be like that again. And I'm not belittling the past. Thank God for our heritage. But you can't live there, folks. You can't live there. You can't live there. I thank God for everything. Amen. I thank God for all my elders. But you can't live there. Amen. And so they wept and they cried. But you know what? Whenever the preachers got to preaching and God lent a hand and people got excited and people had faith and people went to work and they got the church built, the Bible says that they dedicated the church with joy. Amen. That's why. Why is that important, Brother Grissom? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why it's important. Hallelujah. And that brings me to the next fella. He had a good job. He had a cushy job. All he did was that he was a cupbearer for the king. All he had to do was sample the cup and see if it was poison or not. Easy job. All he had to do was sample food and make sure it wasn't poison before the king got a hold of it. Cushy job. Easy job. Amen. And that was his position. He had the confidence of the king. He had the ear of the king. Amen. And here he was and had this great job. But then he started hearing reports about Jerusalem. And the Bible said that the wall, everybody say, the walls were torn down. Now, why is that important? Why does it matter if walls are torn down? That's your defense. Could I say this? Walls are not so much to keep people in, but walls are built to keep enemies out. I've heard people talk about standards, you know, in the church and standards of holiness. We don't need that stuff. Amen. You're just building walls to keep people in. No, we're building walls to keep enemies out. Amen. You know, I lived in a country that didn't have any guardrails. And they had a whole lot more accidents. I don't know about you, but I'd rather run into a guardrail than off the mountain. Said, I'd rather bump a guardrail than go off the mountain. I'd rather build a guardrail than meet an ambulance at the bottom, or worse, a hearse. Yeah, that's good, Brother Grissom. That's real good stuff. Thank you, sir. Amen. You just loaded my plate here and gave me something good. Amen. And so he comes back and the walls are torn down. He said, we got to build these walls. The enemies, they had the temple built, but the walls were not built, and the enemy was still razzing them and raiding them and robbing from them and stealing their things. And so he said, we've got to build the walls. And he was thinking about that, and he got real sad. And he went in before the king one day, and he forgot to put his happy face on. And the king said, what's wrong, Nehemiah? He said, all the walls are torn down, and the city has been raided. And he said, my people, he said, the walls are burning. So the king said, well, let's just build them then. Can you see God getting involved here? When the job's too big for you, that's when God gets involved. Amen. We need to stretch sometimes and do some things that we can't do by ourselves. That's how we get God involved. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how we get God involved. And so the king says, well, he says, let's just build them. So he sends Nehemiah down and he goes and he looks at the walls and he sees how big a project it's going to be and how much it's going to cost. And the king says, well, we can raise the money for that. Hallelujah. You know, when you do things in the will of God, it's amazing what God will do. It's amazing who God will use. Amen. I said, it's amazing who God will use. I know a young man that picked up a hitchhiker one time. And he was going in the car and they got to talking. And the hitchhiker said, well, who are you? What do you do? He said, I'm a pastor. And told him the church that he pastored. And they went along and they got there. And at the end of the journey, the young man said, I would like to do something for you. Amen. And so he wrote him a check for $150,000 to help pay off his building. It's amazing what God can do. When God lends a hand. Amen. Praise God. Now that doesn't mean we sit around, but that will make you want to pick up hitchhikers. Amen. But be careful. Praise God who you give a ride to. God can use anybody. When God gets involved, great things happen. Amen. So they got ready. The Bible says, and you know what? Whenever they got there, and he started getting ready to build the walls, guess what? The devil showed up. Amen. But I'm going to tell you why they built the walls. First of all, the Bible says, and the people, everybody say the people, not just the pastor, but the people had a mind to work. Amen. The people had a mind to work. They said, these are our walls. This is our city. Let's get these walls built. Amen. Praise God. Amen. This is our church. So let's let the pastor do it. Amen. Amen. There you go again. I just keep on meddling here, don't I? Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said the people had a mind to work. They had a passion to get it done. And when people get ready to work and they roll up their sleeves and they decide they're going to do something, stand back, devil. It's going to get done. Amen. Praise God. It's exciting to see what can happen when people make up their minds that they're going to have revival, that they're going to build the church of God, that they're going to build the work of God, that they're going to have a church in their city. There's nothing that can't happen when you get your mind made up like that. Amen. And the people got focused. They got focused. You know what the devil wants to do and what he's trying to do to us right now? He's trying to get your mind on everything but what you should have your mind on, and that's the work of God. He'll get your mind on gas prices. He'll get your mind on hurricanes. He'll get your mind on world events. He'll get your mind on how shaky your job situation is. He'll get your mind on everything he can get your mind on if he can just get your mind off of God. He doesn't want you thinking about that seventh hand. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you thinking about that royal cubit. He doesn't want to think about God lending a hand. But the people were unified. They were focused. They had their minds made up. Amen. And they were consistent. Amen. They got up and they went to work. The Bible says that the enemy came in and they began to raid them. And you know what they did? They had a sword in one hand and they had a trowel in the other. Amen. They were laying brick with one hand and they were fighting with the other. Amen. But guess what? God took a hand. Hear this. And we read it to you at the beginning of this text tonight. In 52 days, less than 2 months, they built a wall all the way around the city of Jerusalem. Amen. God lent a hand. And the Bible says when the walls went up, their enemies had to say, God was involved here. Woo! God was involved here. God was involved here. You know, I've heard folks say sometimes, you know, well, why is it? You know, if we believe we're the people of God, why do we struggle so much? Why do other churches always seem to have so much money and we have so little? Could it be because God likes to get involved in our affairs? Amen. And he likes to stand back and not say, look what we have done, but look what God hath wrought. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. I'm going to close. Amen. The scripture said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen. We need God involved, folks. We've got to get God involved. And in order to do that, we can't do certain things our way. We have to do it His way. We can't do it by the man's cubit. We have to do it by the royal cubit. We have to say, no, God, we're going to go as far as we can go, but we're going to leave a little room for your hand. Amen. We're going to go as far as we can stretch here, but we're going to have to have the hand of God if we're going to get this done. Can't make it without you. Praise God. Jesus went to church as was his custom. Everybody say it was his custom to go to church. That's a good custom. And so Jesus went to Sabbath as was his custom. And while he was there, there was a man, the Bible says, in that service that had a withered hand. And Jesus walked up to that man and he said to him, he said, stretch forth your hand. Now, this man's got to make a decision. It would be easy to stretch forth his left hand. There wasn't anything wrong with it. So when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, he had to decide, will I stretch forth my good hand? Or does he want me to stretch forth my withered hand? Amen. Praise God. Is he asking me to do something that I cannot do unless he lends a hand to me? Amen. It's good to give God our best. It's easy to give God our best. But sometimes God doesn't want your best. Sometimes God wants that withered hand. Sometimes God's not looking for your beauty. He's looking for the ugliness in your life. He's looking for the failure in your life. He's looking for the trouble and the misery in your life. And we're all saying, God, please don't look at that. I'm so embarrassed. I wish that wasn't there. Here, look at my good hand, God. Look at the beauty in my life. Look at the good things in my life. Look at the good things that I've done. God, here, look at all of this. And God said, no. I want to lend you a hand. Amen. So he reached down deep inside and he said, God, I'd like to give you my best, but I need, so desperately need, to give you this other hand. So he reached out with that old withered hand and he began to stretch it forth in its withered and ugly condition. And as he began to reach out, the hand of God intervened, and those muscles began to stretch, and those fingers began to stretch, and those joints began to loosen. Hallelujah! And all of a sudden, that old withered hand, it was strong, and it was vibrant, and it was beautiful, because God lent a hand. Amen. God's talking to somebody tonight. You've got some things that he wants inside that you've been trying to hide. You say, God, please don't look at this. I want you to see my best. Look at all the good I've done. Amen. But God said, no, I want to go the distance here. You've done what you can do, but you need that seventh hand to do what you cannot do. Amen. Michael David Scott, when he was a boy, was playing with fireworks, powerful fireworks. A firecracker went off in his left hand and so severely damaged it that he lost his left hand. So he lived almost all of his life with a prosthesis. It was good, but it wasn't a hand. Mr. Scott read and heard that there was a group of doctors in Louisville, Kentucky that were getting ready to attempt a hand transplant. And so he rushed as fast as he could and he said, hey, I'm your man. Amen. And so Michael David Scott became the first man to receive a transplanted hand. And now he can do everything with that hand that you can do with yours. Amen. Praise God. Somebody gave him a hand that he so desperately needed. Amen. There's somebody here tonight, you need a hand. You've been doing your best, but you need a hand. You've been doing good, but you need a hand. Praise God. You need a hand. And God's here tonight to lend a hand. Now, would you stand with me? Praise God. Amen. I told you this altar tonight. When God constructed the altar, he said, now you build all of this other stuff, he said, by the cubit. He said, but when you get to the altar, he says, I want you to use a cubit and a hand breadth. In other words, I want you to use the royal or the sacred cubit to build my altars, because that's where I'm going to lend a hand. If you're struggling tonight and there are some difficulties in your life and you need help, I'm going to open up this altar. Amen. And I'm promising you that there's an extra hand here. There's an extra hand here. You can find help here. You can find strength here. You can find victory here. You can find beauty here. You can find God here. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the best offer that you've ever been made. That's the best news that you've ever heard. Amen. It looks to me like you'd already want to be here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, I need you tonight. Oh, how I need you. Praise God. I need your hand in my life. I need your hand in my life. Praise God. All right. Folks, let's come. Let's spend time with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hand in hand, we walk each day. Hand in hand, along the way, walking thus, I cannot stray. Hand in hand with Jesus. Oh, hand in hand, we walk each day. Hand in hand, along the way, walking thus, I cannot stray. Hand in hand with Jesus. Oh, hand in hand, we walk each day. Hand in hand, along the way, walking thus, I cannot stray. Walking hand in hand with Jesus. Oh, hand in hand, we walk each day. Hand in hand, along the way, walking thus, I can not stray. Walking hand in hand with Jesus. Amen.